Really, Pat? This is what you're going to do to Greg Schiano. The guy who resurrected the program from the dunghill that was the Terry Shea era. Okay, the guy who talked about national championships from day one and was laughed at, but never deterred by that. The guy that talked about, got to keep Jersey kids at home. Yeah, he actually did it. The guy that somehow got Rutgers to the pinnacle of the sport on one Thursday night, way back when in 2006, when everyone said it could never be done. He's the guy responsible that you're allowed to run things in the Big Ten right now. And are some of us diehards unnecessarily obsessed with Greg? Is it creepy and a little bit cult-like? You damn right it is. You damn right we like that little handshake line thing that he does pregame. That little up-down drill, it fucking gets us going, man. But this is what you did to Greg? You bring him to the table to negotiate. And he tells you what tools he needs to make us not be an embarrassment anymore. The guy brought a scouting report of how shitty the roster is and told you how he's going to fix it. And even said he didn't need all the damn facilities. Just to play ball with you. Just let's get this done. And then you do that to him, Pat. Oh, what, he didn't impress you in the interview like Chris Ash did? Remember that time you actually hired Chris Ash? When you essentially guaranteed him 7 years. Oh, Greg, I'll give you six. And now your side is leaking this false narrative. Greg wasn't interested. He wasn't interested. He was lukewarm about coming back. How about you get someone that's interested in a coach who actually visits high schools, Pat?
Now, would that be something you might be interested in?
Whether he's the right choice or not, he didn't deserve this. You could have killed this thing long ago. You could have said he's not the right fit. You could have leaked better names as candidate. This is on you. Instead, you let the fans get their hopes up. You went through this whole charade, and now you got to live with the deserved backlash. You never wanted him. You were never going to relinquish control. You had to kick and scream your way to this. This process was a fucking farce. The people praising you for having guts, they should know you have none. You won't publicly say why you don't want Greg. You feel no responsibility to the season ticket holders, the donors, yep, the disgusting tactics that you used, and the ramifications of your actions now. You played this political game, you won, dude. Congrats. We won't forget this now. The next hire, it rests on you whether or not you go down as the worst athletic director in Rutgers history. You think you know best? Prove it. You want your pillar of grit? You want your stupid creed? Here, I'll give you your own fucking creed, Pat. I am the AD, the most egotistical one in college athletics. I cheer for myself because I must win. I stood up to Greg and told him to exit the field of play. I welcome any candidate but Greg to coach in our university home. I respect all abusive coaches and celebrate their efforts. I show my enthusiasm on game day by calling media fucking scum. I strive to make those who don't like me miserable. I will tank the state university and Big Ten crowd. I will ruin Rutgers.
This is the RU Screw Podcast.
12-3 is going to be an entire stadium of sad drunks at Rutgers Stadium.
Three-star recruit. I'd upgrade him to about 3.14159. I call him the Pie Man.
There was like a screw pretty much lodged in my ass the rest of the game.
I mean, like, yes.
The Are You Screw Podcast.
Arriba! Arriba! Arriba!
Hooker Williams doesn't have any toes on one of his feet.
What?
No, not, stop it!
Baker's Quakers.
The Are You Screw Podcast.
This is a disaster.
Well, here we are on the Are You Screw Podcast. I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but based on that opening rant by Adam, it is going to be a very interesting episode of this podcast. I'm Max, here with Mike, here with Adam. Guys, we're here. Rutgers is not hiring Greg Schiano. What is going on?
Chaos.
By the way, your rant that you just did basically just said everything that I said in my own rant that I wrote, so maybe I'll read it at some point.
I don't know. Why not? I had to get that off. I mean, this is just, I think that's what a lot of people are feeling right now. I think out of the three of us, it's pretty well known who, like, I play the diehard role very well. And my fanhood of Rutgers and whatnot could be a little bit cloudy, obviously. But, I mean, this is absurd at this point, what's going on. And, I mean, there are 30 million different ways that we could dissect this tonight. And, yeah, like, I will admit, it is funny that we're at this point. It's funny. Like, like if there is any Rutgers way to screw this up, Rutgers did it.
Well, I have been saying for a long time, following Rutgers sports, relentlessly interesting and awesome, so long as you don't get wrapped up in the whole winning games thing. Like, it just never ends with how interesting it is. Maybe not great on the field, maybe not great for the university, maybe not great for the fans, but interesting.
I'm not sure I have anything to contribute this episode. I'm just that gif of Grandpa Simpson walking into the cat house and walking right back out so Adam can
talking. That, or that baby that walks in, does the creep, and then does the turn
just
around.
Just like, let Adam do all the talking.
Where do we even go? I have no idea where to even go.
I guess, everybody obviously knows what has happened to this point. We had, you know, the songs that we thought were going to lead us to Greg Schiano. Didn't come true.
Wow, that failed, huh? As a recruiting tactic.
Oh, that was great.
And no, I'm sorry, folks, that we do not have a song for you today. At least I'm not aware of.
I had an idea for a song. I was out of town last week, so I couldn't get it done. I should have one for next week, though.
Okay.
What rhymes with Campanelli?
I mean, again, we're all confused because I don't think we know where to start.
Can I say? I think there are two things to talk about if we're looking for direction, and this might be my only contribution. One, like the actual effects of the coaching search on the fact that Greg Schiano did not get the job after 2 months of stringing this thing out. And two, and man, things turn on Pat Hobbs pretty quick. All the donors are like out. They're out. They all told Keith Sargent they don't want this anymore.
And we put out a poll earlier today asking, do you think that Pat Hobbs ever intended on hiring Greg Schiano? Like, what did he think that? Like, was this a real process? And I am stalling because I don't have it in front of me. But it was
a lot too little.
It was a lot too little. It was 86% said no, Pat Hobbs never had any intention of hiring Greg Schiano. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he never had any intention of hiring Greg Schiano. At the very least, the overwhelming majority of the fan base believes that this entire process was a sham, and it's pretty obvious that it was. And like you said, really, that's the way you're going to treat Greg Schiano? Like, this is what you're going to do? You're going to just burn your bridges with your fans? For what? To, like, try and pin the blame on Greg Schiano for not coming back? Why? Did they really think this was going to work? Like, are they that dense, or they just not care?
Well, I mean, actually, to some degree of the fan base, and I don't know if they're a vocal minority or not, or how large the contingent is, but it did work. There are a lot of people who are blaming it on Greg Schiano. I think we see this kind of it happened, Matt. It's on there. Like, there's a tribalism that people are now sticking with Rutgers and with Pat Hobbs and seeing Greg Schiano as the bad guy, as the guy who asked for too much. And I kind of actually want to deconstruct this for a minute. It's funny. Those same people who think that Greg Schiano asked for too much are also saying that Rutgers has the money to pay the coach, the next coach, whoever that is, the money that Greg Schiano wanted, which is like when your argument just falls apart on itself. So if they have everything that they can give to Greg Schiano and they can match it, so it's not too much, then why didn't you hire him?
Because he really didn't want the job, Mike.
Well, yeah, thanks, guy.
I mean, I just that is what is bothering me. The lies coming out of clearly the Rutgers side of things
which
started leaking to certain national media members, like it always does, and everybody gets wrapped up in certain things when the big guys come into play, and all of a sudden everybody forgets the people that have been in on this since day one, who have had the inside stories. All of a sudden, Steve Politi doesn't matter, Keith Sargent doesn't matter, doesn't matter. Mike, there are facts in these articles that make it blatantly obvious that this was a sham.
No, I mean, I don't understand.
So why does
your
that vocal minority exist? Like, why?
Why? I mean, that's kind of like a self-obvious answer, isn't it? There's always people who are going to go against, like, I mean, Jesus Christ, have you looked at this country? Like, there are people who always go against facts and truth to believe whatever it is they want to believe. Like,
obvious. Can we then at least stipulate what the facts seem to mainly be at this point? Because I do think that is important where it is getting lost. Like, it comes back to these arguments from these anti-Schiano people that are, he wasn't really interested. It was about the money. He was asking for too many demands. These have all been proven false. The Ted Sherman article in NJ Advanced Media prove that these were all false.
Well, proved is a strong word.
Strongly.
I mean, he reported the term sheet. He reported Shiano wanted. He reported that Pat Hobbs didn't take the counteroffer back to the Board of Governors. I mean, I will ask one real thing, though. If Shiano was asking for too much, and we know that he was asking for, at the very minimum, $4 million a year, which seems to be the one like fact that everyone agrees on, is that the point that's too much? Like, what was the tipping point ask here that made...
There wasn't one. There was no tipping point
ask.
I get it.
I'm just like playing this out, because in that case, that makes Rutgers look like paupers again, who can't afford to pay even the 11th highest Big Ten salary.
But that's not what happened.
We have to call the bullshit out, don't we?
Can we settle down on the interruptions a little bit tonight?
I wasn't interrupting.
You two before were kind of talking over each other a little bit.
I gave Adam his time. Okay. He had the rant.
Now I've lost my train of thought. Great. The point I was going to make, as I now stall to try and remember it.
You should do post-it notes.
Post-it notes? I was in the middle of talking.
Notice how I've been quiet. Mike has turned into me this last month.
It's been bad.
Yeah, this is weird, right?
It has been bad.
I've been very well behaved overall.
But there was no tipping point, because I think it's fairly obvious. We knew this from the beginning, and we kind of just ignored it, that there was never really going to be a scenario where Pat Hobbs and Greg Schiano worked together. That it was either impossible or nearly impossible for that to happen. And I think the impression that we were all under was that because the overwhelming majority of the donors and the former players and the season ticket holders and the fans wanted Greg Schiano, that their money would talk and that their influence would talk and that Pat Hobbs would either be neutralized or he would be pushed out, right? Like, I think that's what we all kind of assume. But Pat Hobbs is sitting there like, nope, I'm Pat Hobbs. I'm going to take your beloved coach, the greatest coach in your program's history, and I am going to put him through a fake negotiation process when in the end all I was gonna do was say, no, you're asking for too much. Like did they really think this was gonna work with people? And I know, Mike, you think it did. I really think that's a small, loud minority of people who actually believe that Greg Schiano kept asking for more and it was too much. It's not about finances. Pat Hobbs is not going to hire someone who's going to outrank him at the university. Like, he's not going to do it. He's not going to hire one of these big ego coaches. He's not going to do it.
No, I already stipulated. I don't know how large that contingent is, but I do want to say one thing. Like, there's a lot of Pat Hobbs blaming going around, and maybe some people can take that as, like, from a podcast that has been obviously pro Schiano return, as if the eighth song would have made that clear. I do want to say the blame is being put on Pat Hobbs here, not by, like, us necessarily, but by people who actually know things, like the big-time donors who are out there saying that Pat Hobbs ruined this thing, by Steve Politi, who wrote a, like, withering, you must read this if you don't read anything else on this topic column the other day. These are people who actually know what the hell is going on, not just us who are regurgitating what other people know. And all of it is putting the blame on Pat Hobbs. And I just wonder, like, all these donors, the ones who, you know, said they're not going to stop giving money to the school, what did they think of this? What does Jeff think? Who's Jeff with? Like, what hashtag is he? No, but, like, seriously, like, this dude is apparently one of the big guys giving money. What does one of the Garudis, I forget his name. Like,
Ron.
These people. Yeah, Ron, sure. I just don't remember his name. Like, they're the people who matter now, right? Like, somebody has to fund the next coach and the next football program to continue on whatever way it goes on. Like,
but so many of them are just out,
Brown.
It seems. Right? That they're,
well,
that they're just...
I mean, I personally know, and I was shocked by the few responses that I got from, I now know multiple people who have had season tickets for 30 years or more, and this is what broke the back. This is it. They've now decided that this is it. And it's amazing what Rutgers fans have been through over somebody who's been a season ticket over 30 plus years, and they're like, now I'm going to walk away.
Adam, I mean, your family has given shit tons of money to the school.
I don't even want to think about how much money.
Yeah, I mean, you've wasted so much money that you could have spent on so many better things.
Pogs.
Yeah, oh my
drugs.
God. Okay, weird place, but fine.
All right, first poll. What's a better thing to spend money on, Rutgers football tickets or pogs?
Or drugs.
Okay.
Apparently that was Adam's second choice. Your family has had tickets for 30 plus years. Are you guys keeping them? Like, what's going on here? You could have been quoted in that Sergeant story.
It's undetermined, and our position right now, as if I'm the family spokesperson, is wait and see until this actually does play out, and wait and see who's hired. Because at the end of the day, I like the social aspect of Rutgers football. That's what I grew up on. I still like to root for the kids themselves that are playing. Like, I do still find it enjoyable. I hate the garbage that comes with it and the embarrassment that is Rutgers right now. But that'd be really tough for me to give up, and I'm not one of those that it's like, because Greg Schiano isn't the coach, that's why I'm bothered. The problem is I don't like the tactics that Pat Hobbs has used to make himself the almighty and powerful. This isn't about one person. And as I've said online, I want to make this clear. There is no 100% guarantee that Greg Schiano was the right coach, could come on in here and deliver the greatness of Rutgers again. I just personally don't believe that a Seton Hall lawyer who made the worst hire in Rutgers football history should be allowed to make now the most important hire in Rutgers football history. I am just very confused why the vocal minority, I think I agree with Max, who is supporting Hobbs, just overlooks this shit show that Hobbs created for himself. Yeah. How is that fair?
They didn't have to hire Greg Schiano. I know that there's a portion of the fan base who was like, Schiano or nothing, bring him back, finish what he started, all that. But I remember back before Chris Ash was fired, we were talking about what we knew Chris Ash was going to be fired. We knew it was going to work out. We put out some polls, I remember, on Twitter. And I remember it was split, the people who wanted Greg Schiano back and the people who didn't. I think as this process went on, more and more people wanted Greg Schiano, kind of settled, okay, we're going to get Schiano. The former players are really excited. I'm really distracted right now because Adam's had a sip of tea.
My mouth is on fire. I just burnt myself.
Sorry?
Entirely. There's like a third degree burn going on right now in my tongue.
But I think a lot, as people saw more and more of the excitement of the former players, of the fans, of the season ticket holders, more and more people got on board. While there would be that group of people who were like Schiano or bust, before this, you could have sold people on, I think you could have sold people on Butch Jones. You would have had people who were disappointed, but you could have sold people on someone like Butch Jones without having a mass exodus from your season ticket base. Instead, what do? Like, you treat Greg Schiano like that when you had obviously had no intention on hiring him, and you thought that, like, people were going to fall for that. I just can't believe that Pat Hobbs talks to the fan base and treats them like they're stupid. And he's been doing it for years, and it's been pissing me off for years, and I'm just done with it.
But you know who else settled on Greg Schiano as the top choice? Rutgers did. Like, they spent 2 months basically trying to get him and negotiating with, and I understand,
but not really.
In bad faith. I understand in bad faith, but it seems like everyone associated with that coaching hire, other than the athletic director, wanted him, decided he was the best option to be the next Rutgers coach, assume that the negotiations would be conducted in a way that would make that happen. And it didn't. And so what you did is you pissed away 2 months of a coaching search where you had a really large lead.
Or that's why they fired Chris Ash in the first place in September,
again,
to give them 2 months to do this to Greg Schiano.
Again, everyone there who wanted to conduct a fair-minded coaching search can now see that 2 months were pissed away.
But the crazy thing about this is, right, there are only two people who could tank this. Pat Hobbs along with Robert Barchi. It didn't matter what everyone else wanted. If those two didn't want Greg Schiano, they could run this process however the fuck they wanted, and that's exactly what they did. And now here we are. What, like, for no reason. Just come out and don't try to fool Greg Brown and all these people into thinking that you're ever going to hire him when they weren't. They were never going to hire Greg Schiano, and it just embarrasses the university and the program for no reason other than to help Pat Hobbs keep his job for at least another 7 months.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That this whole thing, Rutgers football, and any of the will that it had with its fans, any of its connections with the fans who for some reason are still around, like the loyal season ticket holders who it seemed like it was impossible to break, they found a way to break them, all in the name of trying to fool them into thinking that Greg Schiano was asking for too much, or that they felt that way when we know that they didn't.
And that's the question I want to ask to Pat Hobbs at some point. Like, hey, Pat, what was the breaking point, and what would have it taken for you to say yes? Why is it the 6 or, like, when he seriously offered 6 years for $24 million, like, if Greg Schiano says yes, how does Pat Hobbs back himself out of that one?
I will make a public declaration right now. Pat Hobbs will never utter the words Greg Schiano in the media in an interview ever. He'll never talk about it ever.
I agree.
Even if he's asked, he'll say, you know, we talked a lot about a lot of candidates. We interviewed and we settled on the best one, which was, I don't know, Terry Shea. Terry Shea's back. We're bringing Terry Shea back. I don't know what the voice is. I just kind of went with it. I'm really tired.
At least it wasn't a Dick Vitale impression there, so yeah, that's positive.
That is improvement.
Gaetano
Panuccio!
It's just one of those things right now where, again, the thing that I'm getting so irked about is just the smear campaign going on for the guy that has shown, at least again based on reports, that he really did want the job. I mean, people are basically calling Eric LeGrand a liar. You're calling Eric LeGrand a liar.
That's an unfair, manipulative thing you're doing right there.
Not at all.
It's a pretty good rhetorical
trick. It's a good move, and it's just as dirty as the Pat Hobbs side. I mean, Eric LeGrand says he talked to Greg Schiano, and Greg Schiano has said that he's extremely disappointed that it got to this point. Greg Schiano, by all accounts, wanted to come back. By all accounts, Greg Schiano was willing to compromise to a certain extent. He basically, it's known, the facility issue was a dead thing. He knew that he couldn't get it in writing, and he was willing to let that go. I've heard that now from multiple people close enough to the situation where I absolutely believe it. The issue apparently got to the point where Greg countered with this number of 8 for 32, guaranteeing me $25.5 million with his assistant salary pool, and Pat Hobbs didn't want to go back to either negotiate or take it to the board.
But
it was never a real negotiation.
So and no matter what it was, this he was going to fade. Greg asked for too
and
much.
And so that's, I just want to, again, put to bed that he didn't want to come here. Nobody for fun is going to look at this Rutgers football roster and grade it. That's not fun. We do it every weekend looking at it. No, it's miserable.
We don't do it every weekend. That's why we don't do it, because it is miserable. We don't evaluate the
Guys,
roster. We mostly talk about Greg Schiano.
There was a report on Rutgers.Rivals.com.
Rutgers.Rivals.com. Mike has been raising his hand for a long time.
That Greg Schiano had already reached out to, as everybody wanted him to, Fran Brown and Temple. Richie Schneiderite broke that news earlier this afternoon that him and Butch Jones both reached out to Fran Brown, a DC who everybody wanted. Like, Greg had his staff. He was starting to work on his staff.
He was recruiting.
How does that not show that he was interested? Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry you've been raising your hand for a while.
How do we feel about Scoop's health guy over here dropping reporting tidbits?
I got receipts. They're coming.
I don't know if we're the podcast that tries to report things.
I think we're going in a Adam went in a full news gathering mode the other day, sending texts. I love it. Let's go.
I'm so confused by it.
I love it.
I just like, I think are it's we great. Actually becoming Rutgers Sports Outsider?
We are Rutgers
Sports
Outsider.
Adam is Rutgers Sports Outsider.
Since we again are friends at Rutgers.Rivals.com.
Rutgers.Rivals.com.
And we had Alex Kleiman on last year, who came over from Ohio State. He now does recruiting on the site for both Ohio State and Rutgers, okay? He had a story.
Two very different recruiting circles, by the way.
Yes, but he had a story ready to go, basically, if Greg Schiano was going to be hired. I'm going to read the quotes from players, some that are already committed to a school, and some that are in the 2021 class that are being recruited right now, and what their reactions were under the impression that Greg Schiano was going to be hired. I'm not going to read anybody's name because I don't want to do that to anybody that's committed. That's not fair, and I'm being honest. Mike could verify that these are legitimate quotes from actual
is this
commits
on
right
the,
now.
Is this on the message? Is this published?
No,
or is
it's
this,
not. It's not published because Greg Schiano was
does he
was
know
not,
that you're writing,
yes.
reading his story?
Yes,
like,
I've, okay. I've got permission. Right. I
just want to make sure. Like,
on.
Guy,
why are you? This is the RU Sports podcast. No, why are you dotting your eyes?
If I'm a reporter and somebody, I sent something to a friend that wasn't going to get published, then all of a sudden
fair,
it gets...
Fair.
You know, it's fair. And Alex put it out there on Twitter
ethics.
Before that he was going over this article. He's allowing me to read a few of them.
Okay,
that's it. I have permission. One commit to another school already. With Schiano hired, I'll definitely give Rutgers a second look. We all know about his defensive prowess and the fact that he turned Rutgers around before. That makes Rutgers more attractive than with him there. All right, so that's one commit. Another commit to another school. I think it's great when Greg Schiano was head coach at Rutgers the first time. They were in a great spot. Since then, he's been in the pros, and that's a great thing for a college player. There could be a chance that I give Rutgers a second look. A couple guys from the 2021 class right now. Apparently, again, he's got no reach with these kids. He's not a great recruiter or anything like that. Although I've never met Mr. Schiano, I know he's had multiple winning seasons for Rutgers. If RU is hiring him and he could change the program around, then that would be great to recruits interested in Rutgers and the football community as a whole. Another one. From what I understand, he was there when Rutgers was a very competitive school and was at its highest peak as a program. I would be honored to meet him. I heard a lot of good things about him. There are 30 other quotes that Alex had ready to go from coaches and recruits similar to this, a similar tone.
But none of that matters.
I'm bothered by the fact that there is still this narrative out there that Greg Schiano was not interested, was not doing things behind the scenes. It just is bothering me.
But I think a lot of that is just confirmation bias. The people who are choosing to still say those things and to still say that this was about Greg Schiano's asks and that he wasn't worth whatever he was asking, I think those were the people that before the process didn't find Greg Schiano to be worth it anyway. So the fact that this whole negotiation process was a sham seems to be going over the head of the people who are dismissing that.
Right now, drugs is the leading vote getter in terms of what would be the best thing to spend your money on.
Yeah, it's 71% so far I've said drugs.
Good on you, people.
I do wonder.
No one has voted for Rutgers football yet. Zero votes.
Adam's family did for a while. I do wonder, though, where this goes, because right now, like, we've seen that previously, up until this point, Pat Hobbs became the most pivotal person in this coaching search because he was able to tank the Schiano thing, right? I think going forward, it's the people with the money who can decide how the rest of it goes. Because
no,
you don't think that Rutgers has enough money, like Rutgers can afford to lose donors at this point? Like,
so what, you're gonna go to the donors and say, yeah, we know that the guy you actually wanted, we're not gonna hire him, but please give us your money to hire this other guy that you don't want? I don't understand.
If the donors decide, hey, we're extremely pissed off with the way that this was operated and how we got to this point, and we're cutting off our money because we're pissed at you, like, isn't that some kind of strong incentive to either get the coach that you want now or to find a way to make the Seattle thing work or find a new athletic director?
But to Max's point earlier, there is a president who is on the out who has shown that he really doesn't want to be bothered by this stuff before. He's here for the next 7 months. And Pat Hobbs, whether it's spite, whatever you want to call it, was in self-preservation mode. I don't blame him
spite,
for that, by the way.
Because he's gone. We said it last year. We were talking about this last year, before any of this was even a possibility, that we felt it highly unlikely. We've been talking about Greg Schiano since, like, the beginning of this podcast because of, you know, how bad things have been. But, like, at that point, we were saying we didn't think, this is back, like, last October, we didn't think that Pat Hobbs would ever hire Greg Schiano because he's not going to hire his boss. He would be gone. Right?
He would be there. He would just be like,
oh, he would be gone.
He would be there. He would just be doing other things. He'd have to settle on that.
What, he'd be the athletic director for everything except football? I just don't think that would be a tenable situation. I think he'd eventually be pushed out.
If I remember, that was the part of the terms in the term sheet that Ted Sherman reported on, right? Like, Greg Schiano would have full autonomy essentially over the football program. And
What every other major
coach would be
coach
the athletic
has.
Director of the basketball program.
I'll spare you guys, like, my entire rant because a lot of it was similar to Adam's. But the one thing that really pissed me off about this whole process with Pat Hobbs preserving his job is that none of it had to do with improving the university. None of it had to do with improving athletics. None of it had to do with improving the football program. And everything from this process had to do with Pat Hobbs preserving his job. That's bullshit. Like, I know I come off like I don't love Rutgers. I love Rutgers, right? Like, most of the good things in my life I have to thank for going
to Rutgers.
For
once, you're wearing a Rutgers shirt.
I didn't think he was going to come off so pro-employer all of a sudden.
This is a little surprising. What do you mean pro? By wearing the Rutgers hoodie?
No. That like, you have this duty and obligation to basically work for your, like, the employer is what's more important than you. Like, Pat Hobbs.
I don't blame
Pat Hobbs for, like, caring about himself.
Oh, I don't blame him either. It just pisses me off that we're at a point where our athletic director is the one who's, like, this entire process is going on so Pat Hobbs can keep his job for at least another 7 months before maybe the new university president comes in and fires Pat Hobbs. Oh, my God, is Pat Hobbs going to be the next university president?
Oh, can you imagine? God. Yes, we can imagine. We all three of us looked at each other at once and we're like, yeah, that could happen.
If any school has a culture of failing upwards, it's Rutgers.
Are you surprised? Because I am, to a certain extent.
Surprised about what?
Of the
None of this is surprising.
No. Not that we got to this point. None of that is surprising. But the backlash is serious. There are donors putting their names, big donors putting
crazy.
Their names on
that
stuff,
was crazy.
Saying I'm done. The players, Ryan
Let
Hart.
Let me get some of those quotes.
Ryan Hart's essentially trying to lead a coup right now with Eric LeGrand. I mean, it is pretty impressive. Sean O'Hara is out there tweeting.
Hopefully Ryan Hart doesn't get tired and then they have to bring in Mike Teal to kind of relieve him.
But you need a rim shot still on that computer.
Yeah, I don't need it.
We'll get there at some point. You deserve the Boeing at least.
I'm actually somewhat... Okay. I'm somewhat surprised. I'll keep talking through it. I am somewhat surprised that there is this type of, like, zeal, basically. It's actually kind of heartening. Like, we haven't seen that type of enthusiasm about Rutgers football and sports since Shiano was there. But, like, you see people now who are giving a fuck. And that's actually pretty cool after, what, 8 years of no one caring?
Yeah. I mean, for everybody that was bitching about, you know, oh, we need the alumni to step up and those former NFL players and what you all got to step up. Give your money. Open your wallets. And you guys need to step up if you want Greg. They're doing that. Everything that has been said about the pro Shiano crowd in a negative manner, oh, you guys just want to waste money and all this bullshit. There are people.
I mean, but a lot of those arguments were dumb to begin with and really just kind of specious
okay.
the whole time.
They're still the only arguments that side has right at this moment, other than I'm willing to agree with, there was no guarantee Greg coming back was going to save Rutgers football. I 1,000% agree, and you were getting ready to sell your soul to Greg to try and fix this. And most Rutgers fans were on board with it, and I don't blame them for being on board with it. And I don't blame the people who were like, hold on, slow down. Like, do we really want to do this? I was all for having that conversation, but that was never a realistic conversation because that side never brought actual facts or care to it.
Okay, I don't mean to ruin your rage boner here, but finally, that actually was useful, and you're still slow on it. I do want to ask, though, like, how does that affect the coaching search going forward when, one, you make it clear who your number one choice is? You tank it. You make it clear that the athletic director is most interested in power amongst everything else. And so how does that affect who the next coach is and whether someone wants to take this job because they know they'll have to go there essentially as a weakened type of coach because you're going there because the athletic director is hiring you, making sure that you're someone who cannot eventually topple him or even equal him in power at the school, right?
Well, I assume that Butch Jones is not going to be interested because he shares an agent with Greg Shiano. I assume that he's not going to be interested.
I think NJ Advanced Media reported he's not doing this thing again.
But I just feel...
They did? I thought Steve Politti did a little like odds-making thing and he put...
Oh, did he? I thought they reported it yesterday.
He put the Campanile brothers at 1-5 odds right now, meaning they're the favorites. He put Butch Jones at 3-2 odds.
They're really going to try and hire Anthony. Do you really think Anthony Campanile would want to come
again,
here? I mean, he played for Greg Shiano.
According to Rutgers.Rivals.com,
Richie
has reported that it is gaining steam means, based on who he's talked to, that this is serious, that Anthony Campanile would come in, be the head coach, his brother would stay on staff as the offensive coordinator, and they would go totally the whole all-jersey route.
And NGM,
that's what they would do.
NGM report, I think, that he can get out of his contract with Michigan without a buyout for a job at Rutgers. I think that's in his contract.
Like, specifically at
Rutgers. The problem, as Max said, though, is that, again, if this was Pat Haas' plan all along, the fact that you don't have the manhood to just kind of be up front.
The manhood.
That,
you're not... Pat Haas isn't man enough.
Now we're a sports talk.
Yeah, I'll get as sexist as possible. But, no, the gall, whatever you want, the gumption, the chutzpah.
Thank you.
Finally throwing
some Yiddish.
Not man enough.
It's just, to me, he could have saved face. He lost the PR battle right now, no matter who he hires.
But he doesn't care about the PR battle.
But they're gonna
lose, like, 10,000 season ticket holders.
Oh, my God. How many seasons? So we had 6,400 season tickets at beginning of this year?
I think it was 40.
No, 4,900 holders, but 6,400 season tickets.
I thought it was more than that. Closer to the 10,000 mark.
It was 16,000.
You're right.
Yeah, maybe it was somewhere around that.
Yeah, it was 16,000 season tickets.
We sound really,
doing our homework,
really bad
guys.
Right now.
4,900 season ticket holders.
Our research.
How
will
far
up.
Down is that dropping next year? No matter who if they get 17 30, Campanile brothers.
35 to 40% would be my guess.
Ooh, boy.
So, that's what there's no. It will be so tough to get this fan base excited for who is coming in next. And to your point, I mean, yes, money talks. And if they are seriously going to offer an Anthony Campanile 4 years at, let's say 6 years at $24 million, I think he does jump at that opportunity. Like, that's some serious cash. And yes, you could ruin your career, but you also walk away rich.
I was going to say, I mean, let's play this out. Do you, as Anthony Campanile, who's apparently a rising star, I would take it, in the college football coaching circles, right? Do you want to take the money of what would be the 10th highest paid Big Ten coach to become the head coach at a program that is, like, not even flatlining, is like double dead?
Yeah, but there's some caveats. He played here, his brother's here. Like, there are some interesting things that you can make the argument. So I don't really know what he's thinking. It's just again, I don't know, to Max's point, is you lost so many diehards who truly cared about this, and Pat Hobbs kind of strung them along as if he, because he doesn't care about them. And so it's like, how do you then expect them to get re-excited for who Pat Hobbs brings in?
And how can you justify not giving Greg Schiano 8 years, $32 million, and then be like, all right, we're going to give the same money to Anthony Campanelli, who, right, well, again, he's a Rutgers grad. He's obviously a rising star coach, but like, at the beginning, after firing Chris Ash, the last time any of us heard from Pat Hobbs, he said, we're looking for a proven head coach, a program builder, and then you're going to go hire Anthony Campanelli to be your next head coach to take you out of this abyss, which is like, how bad is this going to get? Like, how many players
are going to talk about the transfer
portal?
There's
transfers. Well, Sitkowski, we already knew he was going to be in the transfer portal. We are obviously already knew Blackshear. Elijah Barnwell is in the transfer portal. Who am I missing?
Davon Robinson today. Now, he was apparently before the announcement, but there were guys like Sitkowski was officially in today after the announcement. There were a few guys that clearly were waiting for something in regards to Greg Schiano.
And I do want to say this, like, and this is especially unfair to whoever the coach is. The first few years on the job, it's going to be totally through the prism of, would Greg have done this? How quickly would have turned around with Greg? It's like, basically, it would have been Greg Schiano would have been hovering over them. Like, can you imagine the press conference? It doesn't matter if it's Butch Jones. It doesn't matter if, like, everyone short of Nick Saban would be, okay, Pat, that's cool about Campanelli. That's cool about, I don't know, whoever the hell else it is. Like, what happened with Greg?
They're gonna have to
Why not Greg?
They're going to have to play a recording of Pat introducing the coach so he doesn't have to answer questions with that coach there on the press conference day.
No, like, seriously. Mike's right. You have to answer questions. Like, everything's going to be about Schiano. I assume Pat Hobbs will not speak publicly to media up until the press conference. And when that comes, deservedly so, all of that will be, why didn't you hire Greg Schiano? Why isn't Anthony Nunzio, whichever Campanelli they decide to
hire?
What if
he goes all Belichick and he's just like, we're on to Campanelli. We're on to Campanelli. We're on to Campanelli.
I would actually respect Pat Hobbs for that.
Funny.
That would be hilarious. I mean, he's going to get like murdered in the press for that, but...
But that's why I was confused in terms of like the way, the reason why I know, forget, like, he really didn't never wanted Greg. Let's just assume that didn't exist.
Can you imagine, by the way, like the first like 50-0 loss next year?
Well, that's
and
why...
everyone's gonna be like, well, Greg would have done better. Like,
which is unfair.
It's
not unfair.
It's because... obviously unfair to the coach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not unfair to the person who hired him.
I was just saying that the thing that bought you time, if you were Pat Hobbs, although you were probably, like, again, theoretically, maybe we're going to be forced out, but at least to the fan base, to me, it was like, I'm ready for Greg Schiano because I know the first 3 to 4 years are going to suck, but at least I get to kind of, like, think maybe stuff could happen. I enjoy seeing this guy coach. Like, I know he could do certain things. Like, there is a time frame that was kind of worked into Greg Schiano coming back and people being like, okay, this is going to take some time.
They would trust him.
Right. There was earned trust there, and there's going to be a guy that comes in who's going to get potentially lose to Monmouth next year, week one. I mean, just wait. I mean, can you imagine that? Rutgers could lose at home to an uprising Monmouth FCS school at home the first game of the new coaching.
That's essentially what just happened in Miami. They just lost to FIU, Monmouth of the
By the way, greatest helmets that I've seen in a very long time, Miami Vice helmets.
That's cool.
Can I throw out a segment idea for next fall just before I forget it and the only work I'll do for next fall? One segment every week. How would this game have looked if Greg Schiano was just every week.
Guys, so, how close are we to possibly having to buy a razor for Max again?
Oh, Joe Moorhead.
Oh, yes.
Joe Moorhead.
Yes, yeah. Is Joe Moorhead back on the table?
He is to us.
Okay. He's officially back on the table.
Okay.
He's somewhere on there.
So he was mentioned, I think Kratch may have mentioned him at some point. So what are some other things around this? We had the protester at the rack today.
The one dude. Who is he?
So either Kratch wrote an article about him. Well, let me go.
Who is a season ticket holder. I know that not like some.
I can't believe he held up.
He was a guy, by the way, who like actually goes to practices. Like the team invites him a lot. Like, he was willing to just basically say, "F that, I'm done with that." Like, I felt like this was necessary enough.
Oh, so he gets into practice.
Basically,
wow.
It was him, and unfortunately, the coyote was captured. It could have been the coyote and this guy protesting essentially outside the rack. But
he had a
now
sign
it's just this guy
outside the rack. He was walking back and forth between the rack and the corporate name Athletic Performance Center with a sign that said Schiano Now and also one that said Fire Hobbs. So
there's some funny
one
photos
guy.
like you know, again, like binocular style, like, you know, creeping on him. It's great.
I was thinking about this. I made a tweet that said it said that it was Rutgers gonna say that this guy is a paid actor, and it got me to thinking, should we like enlist students for like how much, like if we put a limit on it and we said, all right, we're gonna give our month, you know, what we get for the month, we're gonna give 20 students $5 to go to the rack in protest. Is that something you guys would want to do? I don't know if I want to do it.
Is that something we're interested in?
Is that something you're interested in?
I don't know.
If you want to do, you know, go the whole George Soros route and start doing paid protesters?
I'm more interested in maybe paying some crisis people for actors. Our other scheme that we're concocting in terms of the rack and basketball this year.
When is the next donation to the R Fund? Give me like a
day. The Bells Must Ring campaign?
Yeah, the Bells
Must Ring. Giving.scarletknights.com/pages/home-25.
Will there be a donation before next July?
It's currently at $66,416 for the Bells Must Ring campaign.
They're in deep shit right now. I don't know
imagine
how they
that
they
is a fundraising
that,
campaign.
That's the other thing, right? Why does like the general Rutgers fan give a shit how much money the government spends on Rutgers football? Like, I know, you know, fiscal responsibility. Our government wastes a lot of money on a lot of shit in this state. They might as well waste it on Rutgers football, right?
Wait. So I do wonder about this. So we've been saying for a while that the Rutgers 1000s of the world have lost, right? And like Rutgers has been giving so much money to the athletic department for absolutely zero return. Is this possibly something where the dam breaks and they just say, oh, okay, like enough. Like you can't keep squandering this money away.
No, because they're going to give the next coach the same money, which is going to prove all of us right along that it was a sham, essentially. And like people are again, going back to the false narrative that it was facility stopping this. People, there's going to be a field house at Rutgers before 2023, no matter who the next coach is. I guarantee I will eat crow. I will eat crow.
No, not this again.
It has to start being built, or it's going to be up by then. It's going to be done by 2023.
Yeah, there's no way it's done by 2023.
Yeah, don't.
Before 2023. Yeah,
okay, there you go. Okay, they said it was going to be done by then.
I know I'm smart in how I'm phrasing this, but I really believe that we're going to start to see this process play out, and Max is going to be proven correct on pretty much everything, that Pat was never going to do this, and he wanted to drag Greg along, essentially, in what he thought was the best way possible to get this done, and he won.
And he won, and he also, like, I don't know if he really thought that the fan base would buy this, that Greg Schiano asked for too much, or that Greg Schiano didn't really want to come back. What was the line?
Well, the spin is so hard, though.
What was the spin that they, I think it was in the Brett McMurphy article, that
something
said,
about half wasn't empty.
Rutgers fans deserve better.
Yeah, I mean, that was a joke for whoever said that
at
one,
least,
wink, wink.
At least if you're trying to, like, spin, just make that seem believable. You know, like, that is the worst spin possible. Like, try, like, do better on the bullshit, at least.
Yeah. Rutgers, you can't take this position with a glasses half-empty culture. Rutgers fans deserve more.
Man.
Like, it's just, like, oh, you
unnamed Rutgers.
Greg Schiano would have hurt the feelings of Rutgers fans by leaving early. Like, it's just such bad, like, PR tactics. It's just bad.
And by the way,
it's so bad that it's laughable. Like, it's funny. It's funny how bad these people are at this. And it doesn't matter. Pat Hobbs won for now. And he's going to tank Rutgers football and, like, annihilate the fan base, alienate the fan base to keep his job for, like, 7 months before he either is let go by the new university president or becomes university president himself. And maybe he even names himself the football coach.
I did. Somebody did ask me where I, like, they said, can I, you know, call in, make some joke or something? I'm like, sure. And then he was like, oh, it was our Penn State buddy. He's like, you want to come watch Penn State basketball this weekend? And I made the joke. I was like, honestly, I'd rather watch Pat Hobbs coach football. And now I'm like, he would probably make himself head coach. I could see it. Like, this guy thinks he knows everything. That's all it comes down to. I mean, he's so pompous and arrogant. Like, it's just a cold, hard truth about him. Again, you know, I mean, nobody wants to say this right now, but, you know, he's the reason why we don't have Danny Hurley as our head basketball coach. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here.
Or Mike Lonergan, that one probably actually worked out.
Yeah,
well,
that was better.
That one, yeah.
But all I'm just saying is, again, he knows best, which is fine for some things if you're proven correct. If anybody did what Pat Hobbs did to their own company and basically tanked the most important part of their company, they'd be fired. Pat Hobbs did not earn the right to rehire a football coach. He messed this up so badly the first time. You don't get a second time to do this. Like, there's a reason why Greg Brown was allowed to basically lead this thing.
But he wasn't. Extent. But it was.
But to
he
a
didn't.
Certain
apparently,
extent.
Yeah.
Apparently not, because, again, the plan all along it seems to be that Hobbs and Barchi were going to tank this.
I think he got played. I think he's embarrassed to a certain extent, clearly. I think there was some blame to go towards him to a certain extent. But
What's the incentive for Barchi to tank this? Like, I feel
he's
like
not tanking it. He just doesn't care. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care, and I think he likes Pat Hobbs. I think he likes that Pat Hobbs kind of became his like meat shield, and Pat Hobbs got a lot of the facilities built. And you know, Barchi's on his way out. He's retiring. What do I? I'm gonna fire Pat Hobbs. I'm gonna bring. I don't want anything to do with this. I'm gonna retire. I'm gonna drink some margaritas on a beach or whatever it is that Robert Barchi likes to do.
Maybe he's down with a Grey's Anatomy book
and just. You know, read the book or whatever it is that Robert. I know he's a doctor, right? Like, that's the kind of thing he likes. He likes reading books. I don't know what Robert Barchi's going to do in retirement, but what I do know in his last 7 months at Rutgers, he wants nothing to do with being the guy who fires Pat Hobbs and brings in Greg Schiano.
And going back to like earlier, like I know the players are very angry, alumni is angry, there are major donors that are angry. Again, I would be now stunned if there's some reversal and Pat Hobbs is let go and Greg Schiano comes back. Like that, yes, that is the only way Greg Schiano comes back. But Robert Barchi released a statement that pretty much sealed the deal that Pat Hobbs is staying.
It would have
He's
to-
got his trust in him. Like the only thing that happens is if something comes out ASAP about the whole softball stuff. That's it. And it dooms them. That's the only thing.
I think the only thing that could happen is it has to happen at the state level. The state level would have to, they'd have to remove Barchi as president, which isn't going to happen. Yeah. Because as long as Robert Barchi is the president, unless Pat Hobbs, like, you know, was like there while the creepy softball husband was being the creepy softball husband, like, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to fire Pat Hobbs for this, for the softball thing. And as long as Hobbs is there, Barchi is not going to be the one to fire him. Or sorry, as long as Barchi is there, Hobbs is not going to get fired.
I mean, I think Bob Barchi has shown he just does not care enough about sports to even like try to interject in any way. You have, aside from the Greg Schiano thing, you have two credible accounts of coaches abusing players, and there has been no movement by the university president to try to figure out, it seems like, how complicit
he did call for an investigation on this one.
I mean, but that's like the lowest possible thing.
I'm just saying,
you tweeted
Rutgers is going to investigate Rutgers and find that Rutgers didn't do that.
You know
much
how that
wrong.
Goes? Hire a law firm and you say, okay, you do an investigation, but make sure these people don't get looked at too hard.
Yeah, don't get looked at too hard. And remember, we're paying you for this, and other universities are also going to want to pay you for their investigations, and we're going to want to pay you in the future. So you know, maybe don't be too hard on us.
All I was going to say is that I really don't care that Bob Barchi doesn't care that much about sports. I actually don't think that's a terrible thing that there's somebody who's in charge of the university that doesn't care that much about the role that athletics plays, assuming that you hire a competent person do the job well. And I agree.
When you have extreme incompetence, that's when even the most...
Maybe he doesn't think that Pat Hobbs has shown extreme incompetence. I'm agreeing with you. I just... Because what other reason
is there?
I would
say by every objective measure, the incompetence is clear.
Do we have any idea where this is going? Like, do we know at all?
The Campanelli house.
You think Campanelli?
I have no idea where this is going.
Jed
Fish?
I was going to say the only saving grace is that we now get to do our like random absurd candidate of the week moving forward of like the dream candidate.
We got more time for songs and stuff. We have more time. Jason Garrett.
Yeah, like this is great. Like this is great for people like us. I mean, chaos rules.
NFL
coach. We'd much rather the nuttiness that is going on right now, but it still is absurd nuttiness. Like it's House of Cards shit that's going on. I mean
this is Veep. This is Veep. This is not House of Cards.
Okay. I haven't watched Veep.
That's a poll.
Or Game of Thrones. Would you throw Game of Thrones in there?
I don't watch Game of Thrones either.
Rutgers football, House of Cards, Game of Thrones, or House of Cards, or Veep. Oh, it kind of made me think of another show. So I was on a plane last night and I started watching The Good Place.
Great show.
It's really good.
It took you long enough.
I watched the first few episodes. And one of the funny things about it is that
Frozen yogurt puns.
It's not really a spoiler to tell you that it stars Kristen Bell. Basically, she's in heaven by accident. She's a terrible person. She ends up in heaven, and she gets a note slipped under by someone. You don't belong here. We don't belong here. Remember, we don't belong in the Big Ten, and this is why we don't belong in the Big Ten, because we just. It doesn't matter who the names are. The athletic directors change. The presidents change. But there's just this kind of momentum towards stupidity, which Mike put it in the best way possible a couple episodes back.
Maybe it's because me always thinking that the gravitational pull of the athletic department is towards stupidity.
But we don't belong here. And so like no matter what happens, it just seems like we prove time and time again as a university that we don't belong in the Big Ten and that we just continue to embarrass ourselves. And it's just, this is the day I feel like that the Rutgers 1000 was wary of, right? Years ago.
Oh, Marco Killensworth is like having a party.
But not really, because think about it. Think about the embarrassment for the university. they're going to lose even more money. They're going to need even more subsidies because there's going to be even more season ticket holders that are gone. And you're still going to be or have a really bad team. And how many players are going to transfer? Like, do we think 20 guys are going to transfer? 30 guys? Should we have a tryout, an open tryout? Should we host a tryout?
I think once they settle on a coach, and I'm sure that person will be fairly persuasive, I think some of the players in the transfer portal now will stay. I think it's part of it. It's just like you kind of go into the transfer portal just to leave that option for you. Look around a little bit, see what's out there. I'm sure that it's a significant amount of those people in there will stay for a little bit. But obviously the team, I think it's fair to say, will be worse next year when you could lose your starting quarterback, your best offensive player, your wide receiver tight end guy. Who else am I missing?
Freshman D lineman.
Malachi Berbe, yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys in the portal. And again, I think—
Along with who graduates.
And I think plenty of guys will look at, you know, what Flacco has done at Towson. In guys like that who get opportunities at the FCS level and they succeed and do really well.
We'll have a lot of teams to root for.
I was gonna say. You know? I mean, you know,
wherever Blackshear ends up, I assume he's gonna end up at a pretty good team. He's gonna be a star.
He's gonna be so good
wherever he goes. Absolutely. That's gonna be wherever Raheem Blackshear ends up next
that's
year.
That's your team.
That's my team.
I kind of think Art could be good next year if he's surrounded by good talent.
Give him a line. You know what?
He's a Flacco guy to me. FCS and he will.
But I don't even think you need FCS. Yeah, I just think you need to give him time. You need to give him a pocket because remember that one drive against Michigan. That one drive against Michigan where they gave him time, he was boom, boom, boom. He was like 6 of 7 down the field, 70 yards. I don't know why I became John Madden, but I did. Boom, boom. And I got finger guns going here. I'm really tired, guys.
I don't know. Like, this is just, where does it go? I just want to know where it goes from here.
I don't. But we're back to the fun
football
part, kind
season
of.
2022, when Rutgers heads up to Chestnut Hill.
Take
on Greg Schiano and the fighting Boston College Eagles.
I still say that game gets canceled if they hire Schiano.
I mean, is that the nightmare scenario, right? It has to be.
That Schiano ends up at Boston College?
At a place close enough to Rutgers where they will feel his recruiting presence, where there will be a burn in Greg Schiano to destroy what Pat Hobbs did to him. And you will one day possibly have to face him. And... probably lose.
And Pat Hobbs, by the way, will probably be gone at this
point. He will
point.
Be way gone.
Yeah.
Way gone. But that is the nightmare scenario that Rutgers sees Greg Schiano go to a nearby school, does well enough to bring respectability to Boston College, and Rutgers goes the up-and-coming coordinator route again and fails. Because, again, there's no guarantee in anything. There's no guarantee Greg will succeed at Boston College. That's a fucking tough place to win in the middle of nowhere in the ACC. Nobody really cares there. But it is... a very terrifying scenario to plenty of people, as it probably should be.
I think the most interesting thing, I think we kind of glossed over this before, was I think it was in Politi's column about how Greg Schiano went into the room and gave a scouting report of the current roster, and they were like taken aback by what I assume was his blunt honesty about the roster that Rutgers currently has, which is what, like a low-level MAC school, like is essentially what they're fielding, and that they were just stunned by how... you know, how bad the roster was according to Greg Schiano, which is kind of crazy considering, well...
It's not crazy.
It's crazy that they were shocked by it considering we're in a season where Rutgers has been shut out in 4 of its 8 Big Ten games, and we're all sitting around being like, well, you know what? It probably could have been worse. Like you know what I mean? We're all, they've been shut out in half of their Big Ten games this year, and we're like, well... you know, that really wasn't that bad considering they could have been shut out by Minnesota. They could have been shut out by Maryland. They got a single touchdown in both of those games. They got a touchdown against Illinois. And then somehow they scored 21 points against Ohio State. But, like, they have 45 points in 8 Big Ten games.
Is Pacheco in the transfer portal?
Not yet. Pacheco.
How about my guy, Isaiah Washington?
No.
Not yet.
Man.
He tried to...
My thought was that Greg actually came up with his own ranking system of, like, stars and brought it
probably,
to the meeting.
Yeah.
And, like, there were so many negatives that, like, they were just taken aback by, like, oh, we have a lot of 4 stars. Why is there a minus sign in front of a lot
of
these guys, Greg? Is that just a dash, or what does that mean? And so that's they were like, oh, now I get it, type deal. Again, coming in with the name of, like, reportedly 100 names in the transfer portal... that's like, again, that's some annoying legwork to do for somebody that didn't want the job.
Can I ask this before Max plays whatever it is he's looking up to play? How do you feel right now if, and specifically him, Greg Brown, who's the former head of the Board of Governors, I believe, right? He's a long-time, big-time Rutgers donor. He's ostensibly the guy who led this search or co-led the search with Pat Hobbs. He's a big Schiano fan, and he's probably like the avatar for a lot of the donors. And but like he was the guy intimately involved in this. And to know that this thing that you had been spearheading for 2 months with the guy you're working alongside was never actually going to work out because he had no intention to make it happen. I don't know. I'm just like, I think on a
personal level. And you wrote a $4 million check last year for
a locker room. Yeah, on a personal level, I would just feel betrayed.
Well, yeah, there's that part. Guys, you know what we haven't gotten to yet? We have not gotten to
the palace?
No, we have not gotten to the hilarious press release that was sent out last night by Rutgers Athletics.
Was that actually real? Because you sent it to me and I thought like you doctored it and it just was not real because I couldn't believe
it. No, it was real. I mean, it was mostly just kind of like boilerplate nonsense.
I tried to
gibberish. But there was the first line of the second paragraph in this press release by Rutgers was amazing because it was the director of athletics chooses the next football or is in charge of selecting the next football coach. Like the fact that like Pat Hobbs needed then to put that in the press release to let everyone know that he's in charge here. Like, it wasn't really in response to anything specific. It was just the second sentence in the damn press release. The director of athletics is responsible for selecting the football coach. Like, okay, good for you, guy. Like, do you really needed people to forcefully know that? Like, okay.
I do want to know how that was written because, look, they put out a press release. Everyone knows what the press release is for. Everyone knows why you're putting it out. And yet, again, I barely read it because I thought it was like I understand it's real, but also has just this stink of farce and satire on it.
I thought you were gonna say stink of farts.
How do you write that thing? You're like, okay, so we're doing this because we didn't get Schiano, but we can't mention Schiano. So how do we write it to let everyone know that we're talking about Schiano, but we obviously cannot say Schiano? Like that whole writing process to me is just comical, and the fact that you have to put that out, just don't put it out. Just move on with your search. Like everyone knows where you stand. You don't need to reinforce to fans that this thing is ongoing. We get that. You didn't hire Schiano.
I don't know where they go from here.
You guys want to make our totally our predictions that will be completely irrelevant in a week?
Like who they're going to hire?
Yeah. What do you think they're going to do? What do you want them to do other than like go hire Greg?
Fold the program.
So the most interesting name to me that is okay. I'll give you two. The funniest one that would be entertaining, and I actually think it would be interesting to try, would be Lane Kiffin. Kiffin Lane, excuse me.
He would never come here.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. That's why I said he was my extreme candidate. Again, I made the joke when they first fired Chris Ash, you couldn't do this, but like everybody seems to really think like Jeff Hafley is legit. You cannot bring in the Ohio State defensive coordinator.
The hell you can't. But you know what that's? That is a power move.
But they just tried to hire the last Ohio State defensive coordinator. Kind of. They didn't really try to hire.
Wait. That would be the power move. If you hire the Ohio State defensive coordinator after you just fired the Ohio State defensive coordinator, nothing says I'm in charge and refuse to hire the offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator from Ohio State. Nothing says I'm in charge like hiring Jeff Hafley.
Here's the thing. I would have to think that Pat Hobbs, knowing this kind of plan all along, and yes, while we've heard reports that the search committee or the search firm, excuse me, basically suggested that Schiano's your hire, like, they had to give Pat a list of candidates. Pat had to be thinking this all along. And these search firms kind of just do basic background on the candidates, but they also ask like people around them, hey, will this guy recruit well? Like what's his, you know, what's the theme about him? All this stuff. Like has Pat Hobbs basically heard, hey, there's nobody really great who's interested. You're not going to go, like Joe Moorhead's not coming to Rutgers.
My head hopes not.
Like, you do need an Anthony Campanelli. He's willing to take the money because he just wants to be a head coach. And, like, you need Jersey people. I don't know. Like, again, I am not really that bothered by whoever the next coach is. Like, whoever they hired was really never going to bother me. I was going to hope that Rutgers gets good. For the love of God, be entertaining so my Saturdays aren't this fucking miserable right now. The only thing that bothers me is I don't like when a person in a position of power like Pat Hobbs just basically runs over the people that he's really kind of supposed to work for. Like, Pat Hobbs is supposed to care about the average donor. And from day one, he's basically given those people the middle finger. He has never, ever cared about the small-time donors. Like, I know specific examples of Pat Hobbs just ignoring donors that have been around for 25-plus years just because they're not at this insanely high level. Like, Rutgers has so few of those people left, and they're treated like garbage under this administration.
And now, they're just kind of they're completely alienated in a way that I don't think we ever thought possible, considering we're talking about Rutgers football that has embarrassed itself so many times over many decades, and these people who have just taken so much over the years and lived through the Terry Shea era and the beginning of the Schiano era and the Kyle Flood era and this Chris Ash era, and kept their tickets all along. Some of them downsizing over the years, but kept their tickets and kept their loyalty all along. And you have many of those people saying, nope, I am now done with this bullshit.
And what interests me about these, whoever they hire, again, is if it's not a Butch Jones, he's really the only one I could see in terms of like an actual former head coach, a Joe Moorhead, like, then that requires like money. They're going to look bad either way. If they give Anthony Campanelli 6 years, $24 million, that's going to look bad because that's what basically they offered Greg originally. And then if they, you know, presumably want him for less because he's an unproved, he's never been a head coach before, then you have the PR stink of Rutgers went cheap again and went for the up-and-coming offense, you know, coordinator who doesn't, you know, like, isn't proven. Like, again, like, Pat Hobbs really didn't care about PR at this point. He literally was just like,
gotta save my job.
If we're going down, you're taking me down, you're all going down with me.
I'm going to keep cashing those fat checks. What does he make, like $850,000 a year? As long as those checks keep coming on for the next 7 months, don't care if we tank the program, alienate the fan base. You know what I want to happen? I know it's probably not realistic, and next season, the next, like, what, 2, 3, 4 seasons of Rutgers football are going to be a disaster anyway, okay? Here's what I would like to happen. Keep Nunzio Campanelli as the interim head coach. Don't really do that much. You'll have some coordinators leave. Go hire some high school football coaches.
Do you
coaches,
keep him
whatever.
As interim, though? Not head coach,
no,
just interim.
But my point is that you kind of wait out. Barchi retires. You see what the new university president wants to do. And then you try to hire Greg Schiano again next year. Because the thing that's lost, and I think we all agreed on this from the beginning, that what I believe we're going to see is that Rutgers was lucky that someone as qualified as Greg Schiano was all in on this job or was even talking to them about this job. Because I think what you're going to find is, like, really, we're talking about Anthony Campanelli? I know he's a Rutgers grad. I know he's a rising guy. But wasn't the point here of all of this that we weren't going to, that we wanted a proven head coach who was going to come in and he had proved that he could build a program and send players to the NFL and all this stuff? And now, oh no, sorry, we're going to go back to Anthony Campanelli because Pat Hobbs' ego can't handle, like, working with a powerful football coach? Like, that's really what they're going to do after? I can't believe that we're here. I mean, I can believe that we're here, but I can't believe that.
I think you tweeted this today. It's very easy to, when everybody says, give us a name, it's so easy to just throw names out there. The hardest part is that name has to have some kind of reciprocal effect of, like, oh, I'm a little bit interested. Like, the names that are being thrown out there are hysterical to think that they'd be interested in Rutgers.
Who's out
there? It's a joke. It's a joke that some of these names that are coming out from, like, again, I don't think Lane Kiffin would consider Rutgers in a heartbeat. People are like, seriously, go hire Lane Kiffin. I don't think Joe Moorhead, unless he gets fired and they get crushed this weekend in the Egg Bowl, maybe then Joe Moorhead becomes available and goddamn it, Max can't shave his head if that happens.
No, I think what happened, he leaves before he gets fired, so we'll be okay.
Yeah, but that, that's some gray area. Yeah,
might give me a loophole.
You said explicitly fired.
It's a tweet. I can kind of back
out. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean,
I said
I'd eat crow with the whole bullshit at the facility.
I'm holding you to that too.
2023. You think this podcast going to exist in 4 years? Like, come on.
Well, that was sad to think about that.
I mean, I don't know who the hell is.
How many songs in 4 years will the RU Screw Pod have made by 2023?
Oh, man. Hey, Mike, maybe we can make your Bob Cerace song now.
He's back on the
table. He's back in the saddle or something. We get to do this again. We get to do this whole thing again.
Like, except with the one guy who had a lot of success here before, and
there was nobody at the game last weekend. That's what it's going to be like all of next season.
It's going
to
be like that.
Like, it's still stunning to go, like, it's just so depressing. You go on in there. I mean, we really had fun when we were at Rutgers. Like, it was a big part of our lives socially. I really wanted them to win. I don't care that my friends who went really didn't give a shit. It was just fun for them to be there with me. Like, the coolest thing ever was having the South Florida experience as a freshman. And, like, being to my friends and be like, we're jumping the fence or we're going on the field. Like, no student has had that experience in nearly a decade.
Do you know what was...
It's crazy.
It, you know what was really depressing to me? Like, I noticed it a couple of games. I can't remember which game. Remember how awesome third down was? And it would be like...
It is third down. And six.
And that place would go crazy. And it was like there was 50,000 people or whatever there. And it was just nuts. And now it's third down and the same song plays. And it's
Fuck
just...
Penn State.
Like, and you can't hear it. Like, you can hear
Fuck
every...
No, that's what they do now.
Oh, really?
That's a third down chant. It was changed over time as we got to the Big
Ten. So
but
sad.
Just remember how awesome that this place was. It was packed, and there was an energy here, and like, it's just dead, and it's been killed dead. It's been killed deader. Like it was you. If you didn't think Rutgers football could be more dead, here's Pat Hobbs and Robert Barchi to kill it more dead by dragging Greg Schiano through this ridiculous process. Like how? It's like what's that quote from The Office? Where Stanley is yelling at Michael, and he's like, every time I think you have done something as stupid as possible, you go and you top it. How could you have killed Rutgers football any more than it was already dead?
And then Stanley has the heart attack.
Yeah.
Pretty no, fitting. No, no, that was different. That was a different
that's another
heart
one
attack. Heart attack was at a different time.
Apologies.
But my point is this. How could they kill this more dead than it already was? Like, all these games under 50 passing yards and no fans and no donations and nothing. And they killed it deader. How? How did they do it? How? How did they make Rutgers fans angrier and more depressed? How is that possible? How are we here?
Remember whenever?
How is this music still playing?
I was thinking the same thing. I think it's actually a subconscious thing where you go when the music goes.
Do you remember when like
still playing?
Yeah, no, it's still playing. But do you remember when that would happen though? Like when they play the music a little bit early, like before the they were huddled up and ready to go, and when you were a student, you'd be like, and then you kind of run out of breath because it was too long before the snap, and you kind of like try to time it for like when they were going to get closer to the snap. God, those were such good times.
It was fun.
And they killed it deader. They made it more dead.
By the way, imagine, again, the people who were like annoyed at us that like that was what was going to get us through these next 3 to 4 years with Greg Schiano. Like, that's why I was like okay with it. Let people, like, that was what it was going to take for people to have the patience. Like, of course there's a reason why people feel nostalgia and wanted Greg Schiano back. And he also proved, just in his preparation, why a lot of people wanted him back. There's plenty of reasons to why he was an okay choice to be the next head coach. And it may work out. I hope it does. I hope whoever comes in, I want nothing but fun for Rutgers football. Like, it sucks right now. Like, nobody comes to my tailgates anymore.
I mean, we come.
I appreciate when you guys come. But
we're not enough, apparently.
We used to have groups of 30. I mean, there used to be 30 of my friends who would come and like just go on in there. You have a great time. They used to try and like, hey, can I scalp today? Like, are there like how much do I have to pay to get a ticket? And now it's a joke. Like, nobody wants to go on into these games now. Barely anybody could actually just go and at least for a tailgate. People don't want to do that anymore. It's depressing. So yeah, like
the lack of traffic on River Road going to some of these
hysterical
games has been like ridiculous.
I mean, I've been parking for free for the last like 3 years because you don't need to buy a parking pass and you can just park in Buccleuch Park.
It's really bad. I don't know what happens next. There is going to be so much. Like, again, at least at the end of the day, if this is going to be a shit show, it is a entertaining goddamn shit show.
Well, it's not going to be entertaining as soon as the season starts, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, there's only so many
like
superlatives.
This will get you through Thanksgiving and maybe the holidays, and maybe they hire a coach by February, but like, it gets sad like as soon as training camp starts.
There are only so many superlatives of impotence that we can like appreciate, right? Like at some point, watching Rutgers lose 27-0 to Michigan State, like at some point, right? At some point, we're just gonna be like, "Fuck this shit!" Right?
It's gonna be
where
really
you don't
funny.
Get a first down in the first half against a terrible Michigan State team.
It's not gonna be fun. I mean, like, listen, I enjoy the dark humor of the Rutgers football program as much as anyone, maybe except for Max. But like, it sucks not watching. Like, I didn't watch a game since
we watched the Illinois game a little bit.
I didn't watch it. No. Okay. What was the game you got fired at? Chris Hatch.
Michigan.
Okay, so the game before. No, I watched Michigan game.
Iowa?
So that was the last one. No, the Michigan game.
You didn't watch Liberty?
No.
Okay.
I had a thing. no, but like, it sucks to like not follow college football during the year.
I gotta say,
there's no reason to. You know the outcome.
I didn't watch the game on Saturday against Michigan State. I was at a bat mitzvah. Couldn't watch the game. Gotta say, kind of freeing.
Oh, it's great.
It's great because it's like we
you
come
have your
to the
Saturdays
we come,
free.
We come, well, it's not that. It's we come to the podcast and I don't feel any pressure to talk about the game whatsoever because you guys aren't looking at me as the guy who watched the game. I do have a funny story from that. So my uncle, who's a Rutgers alumni, who gave up on Rutgers, I think it was 1981 when they almost beat Alabama. He broke their heart, or they broke his heart. He never came back after that. And it was like in the first half, and I was like, wow, they don't have a first down. And it's like the end of the second quarter. And so me being a bad Jew, I kept checking my phone like every 10 minutes or so during the service to check it. And he keeps turning around. Do they have a first down yet? Do they have a first down yet? I'm like, nope. And obviously they eventually, I think they ended up with 7 first downs. Neither of you watched the game, right?
Nope.
We know nothing about the game.
I was working my own. Well, not my own bar mitzvah. I was working at a
mitzvah. Okay, that's cool.
You know, so.
Evermore DJs. Sign them up.
Oh, yeah. Right. We did our Rutgers.rivals.com.
We
promoted it.
Plenty of times. Plenty of great whispers.
Pay us more. We promoted you many times.
They've been very good. And oh, boy, those boards entertaining. I think we have exhausted everything on Greg Schiano.
I just want to read this tweet that I sent out earlier today. Shout out to all the football players who didn't deserve any of this and to the many who will transfer. Hopefully you enjoyed some things about your time at Rutgers outside of football, since so much about Rutgers outside of the athletic department is awesome. Because, like, I would say to any of the kids on the team, Mike gave voice to this earlier, they should all enter the transfer portal. Not necessarily to leave, but, like, leave your options open. Right? Like,
yeah.
We don't know where this is going. Like, they could hire anyone. Is there anyone they could hire that would surprise? If they try to hire like Charlie Weiss, would you be surprised?
No. I think nothing
will surprise me, good or bad, at this point.
Bobby Petrino?
I'm here for the ride. Only if he does the interview, the press conference in the next
race.
All right,
race. So I was looking at the picture of Bobby Petrino earlier.
It's the only stipulation. I'm fine with Bobby
Petrino. I was laughing at the pun before that.
There's something about Bobby Petrino, about this photo of Bobby Petrino. It's a famous photo of Bobby Petrino after his motorcycle accident in Arkansas. Something I noticed for the first time today. He goes to this press conference in this neck brace with his face all scratched up. I never noticed he was wearing a Sugar Bowl hat before when he went to this press conference, like this disgrace press conference where he has to...
He's like, remember his boss, guys.
He had to explain like why he was caught on a motorcycle with a female employee.
Paramore.
And so he's like, I'm going to the press conference. I'm going to wear my Sugar Bowl hat just to remind y'all that I brought Arkansas to the Sugar Bowl. That was a good move by Bobby Petrino.
I'd be here for Brett Bielema, speaking of Arkansas coaches. Bielema?
His wife's a tweeter. She like gets feisty
good.
On Twitter.
Good. We need something interesting for the first three years.
I'm all for that.
That name was out
by
there.
By the way, what a shame, right? If Rutgers just would have been ready to spend some money all along, they would have had Mario Cristobal as their head coach. And we'd have never been in this mess, probably.
I'm not really sure Mario Cristobal is like great or anything. He happens to be at Oregon. I'm just saying.
I was at the airport yesterday with the Oregon women's volleyball team.
Okay.
It's not that interesting.
No, not really at all.
No, it just kind of made me think of that.
The Rutgers women's basketball team met Shaquille O'Neal over the weekend.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Shaq's really, I know this sounds dumb. He's a huge person.
He is a big person.
I was in the same room
as him once, and it's like...
It's ridiculous how much bigger he is than the average 7-footer even.
I was going to say shout out to the C. Vivian Stringer, the women's
basketball
team.
Yeah, she's doing some cruton.
I mean... What is going on there? Number 4 class in the country right now for next year.
Can she coach the football team? Why not?
I'd be fine with it.
She can recruit.
But remember, there like years ago, there was that thing that like
should she coach the men's team?
Is that still a bad idea? Have we seen like men's? Did you see the job Eddie Jordan did?
Men's basketball playing NJIT and UMass this week. That's all we got.
UMass back in our lives.
UMass is back, guys. Rutgers is playing UMass in basketball. Oh, remember UMass? Can McLean Carter lead the Rutgers offense to respectability?
Remember when Mike didn't know who the quarterback was and
Carter,
couldn't figure
McLean,
out the name?
Like that McLean,
was those were
Carter.
Those are great times.
I knew the whole time. The whole time.
The Pie Man. There was so much.
It was
so much hope and optimism going into this season.
No, but not real hope. I mean,
it was just killed after.
Because UMass turned into, oh my God, UMass football. UMass. UMass.
We kind of forget that they were down 14-0 to UMass, by the way. We kind
of
still just...
Some of us didn't forget.
I mean, that was just Mike and I sitting next to each other at one point. We're like, this is unbelievable.
They just lost 45-6.
Wow, when am I leaving?
They just lost 45-6 to Northwestern a couple weeks ago. And we all know what Northwestern is this season. Worse at passing efficiency than Rutgers has been the last 4 years, which is crazy.
It's amazing. People are still angry and saying that Greg Schiano was asking for too much money to be the 11th highest paid coach in the Big Ten.
And it's still unbelievable. The other thing about the 8 years, I don't think we ever said this. Like, you're not going to fire Greg Schiano unless he's like an unmeatigated disaster, because you know he's at least
a decent
coach.
The money was only guaranteed until 2021, basically.
But like whatever. They gave Chris Ash 7 years when he took over for Kyle Flood because they thought the program was in such a bad place. And it's worse off now.
Yep.
8 years doesn't seem like that much. You give him 14 years, it seems reasonable.
I love Rutgers fans. Rutgers never makes a commitment to anything and whatnot. Greg, make a commitment to me. Well, Rutgers fans, not that we don't need to make that commitment. Like that, now it's too much commitment right there for you.
I mean, pick one side. To the people who still trust, and it's not all of the Rutgers athletic department. I think what happens with these incompetent organizations, you know, we all know this from having worked for incompetent organizations in our lives, is that you kind of, people on the outside kind of ascribe these negative qualities to everyone in the department.
That's really mean to say that about Danny Bressler's WRSU days.
I'm
the Scarlet Spotlight.
the point I'm trying to make is that it's really just the people at the top. And it's like,
there's a lot of great people at Rutgers University in the athletic department
yeah.
who should not be grouped in with the incompetence above them.
Yeah, but if you still trust the Rutgers athletic department, why? What have they done to make you trust them? Like, is it the fact that they're Hobbs's third choice basketball coach? Is, you know, never mind. I'm not going to.
No,
you know
yeah,
what? I'm not,
yeah,
not
you
today.
You were close. You were on the edge.
You know, I mean, look, one of the things is if Hobbs is let go, it actually, I think it cuts Steve Peichel's buyout
it
in
does.
Half. Maybe he can
really?
Leave for a better job like St. Bonaventure.
But
does UConn have another opening they can pay him for? I do want to ask this question, and this just sprang to mind. And I know it's got actually like pretty much no relationship and the coaching search going forward. What does this mean for Greg Schiano's relationship with Rutgers? Like, this is the dude who made the program what it is now. Like, will he ever come back to Rutgers? Like, this is a pretty like salty experience for him, understandably so. Like, does he kind of untether himself at some point?
It depends if the details are what we think they are, in that this was entirely tanked by Pat Hobbs and by Robert Barchi. So like if those two are gone, maybe. Because I think, you know, I'm sure he still has a relationship with Greg Brown. He still has a relationship obviously with the former players.
I mean, it's kind of embarrassing for him, like what happened. Like,
here's what happens.
All right.
Oh.
The coup happens. Pat Hobbs is pushed out right now.
Pushed out a window or like?
I won't go into specifics.
Okay.
Greg Schiano comes back in. He gets Rutgers pretty much to the respectability phase and whatnot. Uh-huh. Hires who he wants. Please welcome athletic director Greg Schiano.
Head coach Steve Belichick?
Yes.
I don't think there is anything. Like, he wants the Barry Alvarez route. I think he would love to do that.
Okay, well, like presumably, if your fever dream does not come true.
That's not my fever dream.
This?
That's
Wait.
Just, I wanted to really annoy the anti-Schiano crowd and be like, fuck you.
Can we not mention Barry Alvarez in relation to this coaching search? Because isn't that how we ended up with Chris Ash in the first place?
Excellent point.
Assuming that fever dream doesn't come true, like, that's kind of sad, isn't it? Like, that the guy most responsible for the most success you've had in your football program might be, like, persona non grata now.
Half the whole birthplace hype video, it's 90% 2006 highlights.
They just honored him. Honored him at the goddamn stadium, and then a week and a half later they said, no, he's actually not good enough to be our coach.
No, because it's just Pat Hobbs doesn't, I feel like he doesn't care about the university. Like, he's just fine with embarrassing the university like this to advance his own whatever. Like, it's just, fuck this shit.
Can we get into some random stuff for the week? We have
some random stuff, right?
80 minutes of this wasn't enough.
We have some random stuff. What do we got?
What's all random?
Last week I asked. I mean,
why are you standing? Why did you get up? And now you're standing.
I've got agita. I'm up. I'm up. I'm just moving around.
Do you have
tonight.
The restless leg syndrome?
I do have restless leg syndrome. Actually, but
you've got some heartburn going on right now.
No, I've got no heartburn going on right now.
What's wrong? Why are you standing up?
I'm just like,
it's unnerving a little bit.
Yeah, it's making me uncomfortable. It's fine. You can stand up. I just won't look at you.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, so last week I asked you guys, with Thanksgiving coming up,
oh, yeah,
if Rutgers was a side dish, what side dish would Rutgers be? Have you given any? Can you come up with anything off the top of your head?
The casserole that was left in the oven 3 hours too long.
All right.
All the guts that are in the turkey that you take out and throw out.
The gizzards. The giblets.
The gizzards and giblets. That you don't actually cook.
that nobody wants, just tries to dispose of. Like,
yeah.
He gives it to the dog. That's what it is. That's what the dog gets. I was going to go with, like, I've had people, like, do, like, boiled, like, vegetables, like boiled carrots.
I actually, you know what? I actually like the boiled carrots on Thanksgiving because I like to throw a little bit of
vegetables. You're such a white person.
It doesn't have to be boiled carrots.
What are you?
I'm
one who seasons my food.
I like some vegetables on Thanksgiving to kind of break everything up.
That's dumb.
They
honestly
don't need to be boiled shitty vegetables.
Okay, I'm saying I like whatever the crappy vegetable side
is. I want to get past your bad opinions. Are you for or against stuffing? Do you like stuffing?
Who doesn't like
some
stuffing?
People don't
I just
like
made stuffing like last week.
All in for stuffing. By the way, this is going to be my first year with a deep fried turkey.
Nice. I've never had it before.
I don't know. Everybody seems like that's the way to go.
I've never had it. It's never interested me. You can make a turkey very well without deep frying it.
Important thing. Are you the one deep frying the turkey?
No.
Thank God.
We're not that stupid.
What's your favorite like food at Thanksgiving? When you look forward to Thanksgiving, what do you look forward to?
Stuffing and turkey.
Stuffing.
I actually prefer the appetizers to the meal.
Which one? What you got?
My mom makes this fantastic clam dip.
I don't know what that is.
It's so good. It's basically clams, breadcrumbs, bacon. Anything's good with bacon. So yeah. It is. You put it just on like a Triscuit type cracker, and it is
Triscuits.
Fantastic.
If you're listening, we'd like to become the official podcast of Triscuits. We haven't done that.
We haven't done that in a very, very long time.
We'll take you as the official chalky snack of.
You guys are
I like Triscuits. You don't like Triscuits?
Cranberry right. In the can or cranberry sauce.
Oh, listen, I have a war with my wife about this. I love the Ocean Spray cranberry. Take it out of the can. You still see the dents.
It jiggles.
The discs.
Those are the best.
I love it.
It's cranberry jello, essentially.
I love it. I'm here for it. Sometimes I'm okay with the ones that have like the fake real cranberries in there. I look forward to the cranberry sauce, honestly, like the canned one, and I love the the pumpkin pie. Those are my two favorites.
The cranberry. I love the fake cranberry. That's one of my favorite things.
It's amazing. It's one of my, I can eat it year round. Unfortunately, I just went to Trader Joe's. They don't have it. They have like real cranberry sauce.
Oh, yeah. They can't go to, I love Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's, if you'd like to become the official shopping place of the RU Screw podcast, we're listening.
Would we have to change our name to like the RU Joe's podcast? Like, they always have their name in everything.
They do, yeah.
Did you see that a former Rutgers player referenced the RU Screw to this?
Multiple.
Show?
No, multiple.
Okay, I saw Sebastian Joseph Day.
Sean O'Hara.
Yeah.
Okay.
Met many, many people were like, oh, this is like RU Screw all over again.
Okay.
So people
know, like all the ones who were.
Big missed opportunity to just go tweet at them like our lawyers are in contact with you type deal.
The missed opportunity is next time, please tag us.
Well, that too. Or we could try and get any of those guys on eventually.
We had some of our listeners tag us to let us know that those people were tweeting about the RU Screw.
Also, I feel bad for Jamal Westerman. Tiger Cats lost in the Grey Cup to the Blue Bombers. Janarian Grant won one.
Can we raise a banner for that? Janarian Grant, CFL champion.
Did you guys see, just real quickly, by the way, the whole story that went viral about the Blue Bombers fan who, since the last time they won the Grey Cup, made a bet with his friends that he would only wear shorts until they won the Grey Cup. And for 19 years, he has worn nothing but shorts in his life.
And where are the Cats located?
The Tiger Cats are Hamilton, which
so
I think
it's
in
Toronto,
Ontario.
Yeah.
And then Winnipeg is the Blue Bombers.
Oh, that's the cold place.
So that guy was wearing shorts for 19 years in Winnipeg.
Woof.
That is...
Am I
tough right?
Right
there.
Woof.
What's like the dumbest bet that you would take for Rutgers football? Is it me with like the whole crow thing? I guess that kind of counts. That's a
I don't know. Max's
bet.
Moorhead bet is pretty
that's
dumb.
That's a bad one.
It was a long time ago. A lot of things have happened.
It's still up in the air.
The other thing that was...
I thought it was over. I didn't think I had to worry about it anymore.
The other thing that came up in the Politi article, the Key Sergeant article with the donors being talked about is apparently a lot of people have Rutgers in their will.
Yeah, how about that?
To leave them money. So like what would be in our... What could we leave... Rutgers.
We don't have much money to start with.
We can leave our audio equipment to the Rutgers rant.
Yep. Okay. They need audio equipment.
They do.
Who would we leave the songs to? Like, who gets the rights to our songs?
So, I thought about this. So, the way I do this is I have an Excel spreadsheet with all the lyrics from every song are in one Excel spreadsheet. I put the original lyrics in one column, then I start writing the lyrics in the next column. So, I was thinking, who could I leave that to? I think there are two listeners that I would leave that to. One is our guy Neil, who has sent us some song lyrics, and one is our guy Kevin Gangler, who I think would really appreciate some of the unmade song lyrics that are just in this very disorganized Excel spreadsheet. So Kevin, Neil, In my will, I will leave you this ridiculously dumb spreadsheet full of stupid lyrics.
Who gets?
I mean, I feel like we need to leave Kevin Fine something.
Does he get the Twitter account? Who gets the Twitter account? Control of the Twitter account.
Interesting. Who gets control of the Twitter account?
No shot, Danny. Don't even text us right now. Fuck off.
We'd say all of a sudden there's five thoughts after every basketball
it's
game.
It's just the most bland stuff ever on our Twitter account. Get that even be, shit
he'd,
out
he'd
of
change
here.
It from the RU Screw podcast to like the RU sometimes things happen podcast.
I think I'd leave it to Kevin.
Yeah.
Fine.
That's probably a pretty good choice. Or maybe yeah, I feel like we got to give Raj something. He was one of the very
Raj, that's our guy.
Only person that came and saw us at a tailgate this year. Raj gets something. I don't know what, but well, he gets one of our. We'll leave you all the imaginary shirts we didn't make, Raj.
Yes.
Raj is like our staunchest internet defender, I think.
Yeah.
He calls out everyone's bullshit. Deservedly so, I think. Every time. It's great.
I think Raj just needs to take it from like a 10 maybe down to like a 7.
No. I think he is a great Twitter follow.
I'm just saying, like, Raj, you're awesome, man. You know what? Take it up to a 12.
Yeah, bring it up, man.
Raj for next football coach.
Are we getting to our final gambling segment of the year?
Yeah. Are we
making picks?
I think for momentum's sake, I think we have to finish up our
Is there anything else?
Picks.
Is there any... I know we have a wanker of the week, obviously. Is there another wanker of the week, Adam? Do you have anything else?
Who's
all of our usual segments? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Who's our wanker of the week?
I don't have a wanker of the week. I assume it's Pat Hobbs. No.
I had a wanker of the week. It was whoever wrote this tweet. Who? Hold on. This is a tweet. I think Mike wrote this tweet. And there's no way you actually believe this tweet that you wrote. You were just trying to get
tweet?
As many likes and
what
retweets as possible. The tweet is, kind of funny that the week after Rutgers celebrated the best era of football in its history, Rutgers decides the guy responsible for it isn't worth hiring. And by funny, we definitely don't mean funny.
I mean...
You don't believe
it. If it were to have been me who tweeted
said
thing...
You wrote it as you were laughing.
I do think that funny is not the right word to describe what happened. I would say anger-inducing,
but
sad
you're mad about this?
No. I'm doing some fan service
I just couldn't
there.
Believe that you at first questioned who wrote this. You were on a plane at the time, so you couldn't tweet, and it was past 9 o'clock at night. I was sleeping.
No, I pointed out the tweet before I got
Had
on the
be
plane.
Had to be Mike.
I pointed out the tweet before I got on the plane.
All right.
Yeah, I think Max was just mad. Like, you tweet, like, what, 95% of the things from the account?
You called him our Twitter guru.
Yeah,
I guess that's about right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. I feel like some fan service
I
every once
like
in a while
went...
isn't bad.
I just thought it was funny reading that in your voice because, like...
Really? It was my voice the one that you read it in because that sanctimonious voice is not mine.
I'm just saying is that you made it super serious.
Is
like,
it weird?
I felt funny.
I feel like proud. I think I went semi-viral like on Rutgers Twitter.
You went crazy yesterday.
One of my 300 tweets and whatnot got like for Rutgers Twitter. I think this is by percentage pretty good. It had like over 100 likes, like 20 responses to it. Around that many retweets, like for Rutgers Twitter, that counts as going big time right there.
The best moment for you on Twitter since Larry, what was the guy? Larry Bird impersonator.
Larry Bird's mustache. Larry Bird. Self-important haughty dipshit. Something.
Yeah,
along
you
those
know.
Lines.
Let's make that another poll again. Is Adam a self-important haughty dipshit?
I'm actually kind of disappointed you haven't gotten into more Twitter. Beefs.
Nah, I've learned a little bit.
It's haughty, self-important dipshit.
I
right?
believe so.
It's in his bio.
It's in my It's in my bio. If you want to,
I don't know. I kind of want to see you beefing with more people. There's
no,
a lot of people out there on Rutgers Twitter. You can get into
people.
It with.
I think people mistake me as like this again as a pro Shiano guy. I think that again it was like I out of everything out there. With Max, I think people don't appreciate that a guy of his. Stature was ready to come back to Rutgers. Like it should be appreciated that he was willing to. I was always said that if his demands were really absurd and like he made it impossible for Rutgers to say yes, I'd be like, all right, time to move on and hopefully Rutgers finds something that's like salvageable. I just think the way this has gone down is a slap in the face to you know families like mine who have basically just given our lives for no reason, no good reason at least to Rutgers. And it's like, no can we at least reason. Get the dignity of like, hey, we're not trying to fuck you around entirely. Like, I again, like
they killed a debtor. How did they kill a debtor? How?
I've really to go back to it. I've really been surprised.
That should be
some
a poll. How did Rutgers?
Some
kill
of the
a
people
debtor?
That have been around forever who were just like, I'm done. Like,
I was actually seriously surprised by the people that Keith Sargent cited in his story. Like. I don't when you stick around with a program for that long through so much crap, like, how is this the tipping point?
Because you made them think you were bringing back Greg Schiano.
They're taking it personally.
And you made... That's actually what Pat made it personal.
That's actually what interested me most. Is these people know Pat Hobbs personally. We don't know Pat Hobbs personally. We've seen him walk by your tailgate and not say hello to the people
who have
had
tickets
for 30 years.
He was going to come on the podcast?
No. Yeah, I never believed it. I mean...
Anyway, sorry. At that time, I interrupted you. I apologize.
I mean, if... I'm going to avoid the easy joke. Never mind. I just, like, those people actually know him on a personal level. So I think for them to go out there and say that publicly makes it even more surprising.
Because it just seems like he duped everyone. And he duped the donors and he duped the fans. And this entire process was just complete bullshit. And I think that's why this is the tipping point. It's that you're here. Fans got excited about Greg Schiano. It seemed like they were moving towards this happening. And then for everything to come out and for it to be abundantly obvious that Hobbs was never going to sign off on hiring Greg Schiano, I can see why that is the low point for them. And that is I can see why that's the tipping point. It's taken a long time, and there's been a lot of tipping points along the way. But I can see why for a lot of fans, that particular thing to just treat the only real thing that's ever been around your football program that the school could be proud of like that. I understand why that's a tipping point for people spending thousands and thousands of dollars on this football program.
Serious question, and this is asked out of ignorance. There's all the things that Rutgers wants to build in the future, like all these buildings and whatever that they have said that they will build. Do they have the ability to take the money out and like decommit from that essentially? Like, will any of that be compromised? I don't know who's involved in all these, all these buildings that they say they're going to build, but like, if they're pissed enough, like, can they take their money back?
Wouldn't it be really funny if the Rod just ate some half complete building forever?
They have to rent out the corporate name Athletic Performance Center to like, I don't know, like a school or something, like an elementary
school.
Seton
Hall. Rutgers Athletic Performance Center.
Oh, no, we don't get Greg Schiano's Football Palace. You know what? No matter what it's called, it'll still be Greg Schiano's Football Palace. I'm going to call it that no matter what. Whatever the field house is, whatever corporate name it has, I'm still calling it Greg Schiano's Football. The Greg Schiano Memorial Football Palace. I know he's still alive, but...
Guys, this season began with the football stadium being renamed Shit Stadium.
So long ago.
Pretty fitting.
And somehow, fitting. That is not the most embarrassing thing about the football program.
Oh, the other
this
thing
year.
That we didn't touch on was that, you know, it's not an accident that this came out the day after the last football game of the season, right?
Yeah.
That, like, do you think do you think that Greg Schiano removed his name, or did they tell him we're not hiring you? I know if to save face, maybe takes out his name, but I think, in my view, again, completely Rutgers Sports Outsider, uninformed. Is that Greg Schiano taking his name out, or is that Rutgers kind of like ghosting Greg Schiano? And
I think
him...
it was more that you put, again, according to what Ted Sherman wrote, the counteroffer was delivered on Tuesday. They never heard back. So by Sunday, that kind of puts you in that direction.
They ghosted
where...
Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
They killed it deader by ghosting Greg Schiano. Oy.
Gambling? Finish
yeah,
things
let's
up?
Do it. Sure. Let's gamble. Guys, we're here. Last game of the season, last week of the season.
Thank God.
At least for Rutgers. I kept saying hope springs eternal.
We didn't say who we want as coaches.
We didn't?
No.
I said I wanted Nunzio interim. Adam said he wanted
Kiffin
Halfley
Lane.
Oh. Or Kiffin Lane. And you said...
I'm going to throw a name at you. Bob Stitt.
I don't know who that is.
Bob Stitt, former coach, Colorado School of Mines, responsible for giving the jet sweep to Dana Holgorsen, won some games over 500 at Montana. Make it happen. I'm just telling you, I think that would be the inspired choice.
Okay.
All right.
I want that on the record.
So I've said before that hope springs eternal. Hope doesn't spring eternal, except unless you're hoping that the season finally ends. It will. Rutgers, we haven't even said the words Penn State on this episode. Actually, we did. Adam said fuck Penn State earlier, but Rutgers is playing Penn State this weekend, and it's the last weekend of the season. I kind of thought maybe we'd skip the gambling this week, but you know what? We have been doing this all season long in the name of momentum. One last time. It is time for week something in the league where they play for no pay. Rutgers and Penn State playing this weekend, 3:30 at Beaver Stadium in State College, Pennsylvania. That's right, it's Beaver Stadium out there. Rutgers traveling out there, and they are currently a 41-point underdog at Penn State. Adam, let's start with you, and hopefully this is the last time I ever talk like this.
So last week I fucked up. Went money line. We didn't even get to talk about that.
God, yeah.
You
fool.
Yeah, what an idiot. This is not going to be close. James Franklin will have no mercy on Rutgers, and the Rutgers will be shut out. I will take Penn State to cover.
Mike?
Yeah, I mean,
it's actually 40.
It's 40?
Yeah.
Oh, that changes everything. Yeah. I'll go Penn State.
Penn State. You know what? I actually think they cover this week. I think that Penn State is going to go into this game and win. I think it's like 28-0. I don't think they actually haven't really run up the score on Rutgers. They've never scored more than 40 points on Rutgers since they've been in the Big Ten. I don't think this is going to be the week for it. Again, I could be wrong. This could be 70-0. That risk is always there. But the defense, I think, has stepped up a little bit. They've played decently well the last half of the season, and I think they actually do keep it under 40 points. Rutgers plus 40 at Penn State. So, Mike, to you for your next two picks.
All right. Having done a lot of research on this, I'm going to take... there's no lines. This sucks. Anyway, I'll take Michigan to an outright over Ohio State. At home.
Why are you just on a website that doesn't have lines?
No, who cares? It's go the pick site I always
go
use.
Straight
it's
pick the site.
Yeah,
I like
I'm
it.
Gonna go pick them.
I like it.
And you know what? I'm gonna go Fresno State on the road at San Jose State.
Okay.
Do we know our records for the year? How bad have we been?
We'll figure it out. It's not that hard to figure out. They're all at the end of the episode.
Has anyone done the work?
No, I'm saying we can. It's not really gonna be that hard to do.
No, we can.
Whatever. We'll get it done. All right, my picks this week. I've got Tennessee minus 22 against Vanderbilt. And then I have got Minnesota plus 2.5 to get it done and win the Big Ten West. PJ Fleck, that thief, and them boys to take it against Wisconsin.
I got game day there this week, too. All right, final two picks of the year for me. I will go with Kansas against Baylor. Kansas is plus 14 in this game, and that number should ring a bell to most Rutgers fans. That was the amount of points that Rutgers scored last year against Kansas when they lost 55-14. Oh, that reminds me. Chris Ash was a coach then. Who hired Chris Ash? Pat Hops. I'll take Baylor. The next game I will pick, Bowling Green and Buffalo. Buffalo minus 24. That is just 5 points lower than the amount that Buffalo beat Rutgers at Rutgers last year. Oh, who was the coach then? Chris Ash. Who was the one that hired Chris Ash? Pat Hops. I'll take Buffalo.
This has been a fun episode. I don't know if it was good, but it was fun. I think it had even less prep than usual. I think that this was more of a throwback episode to last year, because I think this episode had even less prep other than Adam's. Well, actually, that was off the cuff, that rant at the beginning, but I just feel
especially
like
when I said breast.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. But that was a fun episode. I mean, it's just such a crazy time. Like, the fact that we're here, Rutgers football relentlessly interesting. We assumed they'd be hiring Greg Schiano by now, but apparently it was never going to happen. So here we are.
These are the times 30 years from now. When you're talking to your grandchildren and Rutgers is competing for a Division II title, you'll be like, one day, once upon a time, they almost made themselves relevant again.
Goodbye, Mike.
Hey, the players. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.